Let's turn now to the annual report of the National Review Panel. It's an independent body that examines the deaths of children in care and those known to the Child Protection Services. There were 29 such deaths in 2023. While most were from natural causes, four were by suicide. The report's author, Dr. Helen Buckley, highlights what she calls the dearth of services for children with suicidal intent. And she joins us on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Can you give us a sense of the young lives and the young deaths covered by your report?
Well, I suppose the youngest death from suicide that we've had is 12 or 13. In 2023, the youngest would have been around 14. And in the reports that were published today, you'll see there were two from young girls of 14 and 16. A lot of these young people had been... you know, they've had various troubles in their lives, a lot of them had been referred to child and adolescent mental health services at various stages. And what our annual report this year, and probably for the last several years, has highlighted is that there really is no service for young people with suicidal ideation. CAMHS really don't treat children with that kind of emotional instability. They reserve their eligibility criteria mostly for young people with what they call treatable mental illnesses, like a psychotic illness such as schizophrenia. There is no other state service for children in that situation, and I'm sure there are many parents listening in who understand only too well what I'm saying. So we've highlighted the need for the Departments of Health and the Department for Children to get together to work out some type of response to this. I mean, there are some voluntary services like Jigsaw, but they're not in every county. And you really need a high level of therapeutic input for children with those kind of emotional and psychological difficulties, or they end in tragedy.
So it really is a bit of a lottery then as to whether a child gets the care that they need.
It is really. I mean, we've seen examples of really excellent services from CAMHS in certain parts of the country where people have gone way beyond what you'd normally expect to provide the service. And then the same child might move, for example, be referred to a CAMHS service in another area and be told they're not eligible. So it's highly inconsistent. But in general, I think we feel that there's no point in blaming CAMHS. There's no point in blaming TUSLA. It's an actual gap in services.
You focus in particular in the report on a couple of specific cases. Now, one of those is a young girl you call Janet. Tell us about Janet.
Well, Janet had a very serious, complex mental health problems, and she was attending a CAMHS service, and she'd had inpatient admissions to HSE and other treatment facilities. But the problem that was identified for her was that she needed a placement in a caring situation that would meet her needs. The mental health services did not have such a facility in this country, and TUSLA could not provide foster care or residential care that was actually safe enough for her. So what we identified there was a real lack of coordination. Neither service really understood the limits of what the other one could offer. You know, there was a lot of tension between the services. There were highly committed staff in both services. There was a lot of money spent on this case, or a lot of resources put into it. But in the end, no solution was found. And it's, you know, there is a protocol between the HSE and TUSLA on how to manage resources and who should be the leader in cases such as this and cases where children have disabilities, but it doesn't appear to work. So our recommendation in that case was that the protocol is revisited, but there really is a need for significant action in this type of situation.
Your office was set up following controversy about the deaths of a number of young people who'd been in care. And I'm thinking in particular of young people like Tracy Faye. Many listeners may remember her case. Mm-hmm. Have things improved in the intervening years?
Well, yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say things have improved, and the establishment of TUSLA has probably put a much better structure and the implementation within TUSLA of new practice frameworks has definitely made I suppose it brought a lot of clarity to the task that social workers have. But if you look at the statistics, Rachel, when we were set up, there was something just under 30,000 referrals to TUSLA per year. Now there are 92. There were 92,000 in 2023.
And why is that? Because that's just an extraordinary increase.
It is. I suppose it's the increase in the population is one thing. I suppose other services will tell you there's been a huge increase in emotional and psychological problems in young people. The drug problem has got worse. People are less stable in their family lives because of the housing situation. So I suppose all of those. Also, the services, you know, the better known they are, the busier they are. And I think that probably the implementation of the Children First legislation has led to a huge increase in the amount of reporting as well.
Dr. Helen Buckley, thanks indeed for talking to us.